Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The search is underway in Las Vegas, as well as other places, for the next head coach and for the next new voice. Right. It's kind of rough. If you think about the Raiders, they're now stuck in this cycle of futility where they are seeking their fifth coach since 2021. Antonio Pierce got the interim job after Josh McDaniels was fired midseason in 23 for many reasons. Pierce and the Raiders go 4-13 this season, despite having real momentum and some great signs, some positive signs. The team played hard for Antonio Pierce at the end of last season, but just 4-13 this year. Winless in the AFC West in 2024. That's a no-no, especially when the division has become more competitive now. It's not just the Chiefs. Couple of other benchmarks. The Raiders trailed by double figures in almost every single one of their games, 15 of 17. And while the defense was quality and finished top 10, they were last in the NFL in rushing, which was supposed to be a hallmark of an Antonio Pierce team. So he gets the boot. And now what? What are they looking for? Well, Pierce had a great vision in theory for the Raiders, just never manifested.
You just saw me there at the very end of the game. Everybody dapping each other, loving each other up, and just, man, keep fighting. Take the day off tomorrow, get back to work. That's blue-collar group, right? Just hasn't gone our way, which is now becoming, you know, transparent.
So what's next for the Raiders now that they fired Antonio Pierce? And what role will Tom Brady have in this process as the reports, the rumors, the speculation circulate? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, online at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page as well. We're pleased to welcome Hondo Carpenter, Sports Illustrated insider, joining us from Las Vegas. So many questions about this team, Hondo. But when you think about the Antonio Pierce truncated era, why ultimately did Mark Davis decide he's not the right guy for the job?
You know, Amy, the biggest reason that franchises fail or succeed is either a lack of commitment to their identity or a total commitment to their identity. And I've covered the Raiders. This is now my sixth year. And I said to Antonio Pierce recently before he was terminated, I said, the only consistency in my beat coverage with you has been inconsistency. And that's been the story. And one of the things that I have literally been heralding to Raider Nation is that a quarterback and a new coach are not going to fix this organization. They have to determine who they are, what they are, and then develop a roadmap to get there. I think one of the best things that I have had a front row seat to watching is the metamorphosis of Mark Davis. And as I've gotten to know Mark and have watched him change, this is a man who I believe would give up, you know, probably an $8 billion worth net worth if you said, okay, you can have $1 million and walk away, but you'll win a Super Bowl. That is his total focus now. It's why Tom Brady is here. Tom Brady's not come in, has not been brought in to be a minority owner and sit passively by and be thankful that he's an owner of a team. He brought him in because Mark Davis understands he's the greatest football player of our lifetime. Yeah. And I want that around my organization. And so as they begin to do a dive into their organization to look at it, and it appeared to them that they didn't feel like they could get to where they wanted to go with Antonio Pierce at the helm, and they made the decision. But I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a massive decision for Tom Brady. And make no mistake, there's going to be other influences, but Tom Brady is the loudest voice in the room.
Wow.
And one thing that I feel like people need to understand, though, this isn't Tom Brady coming in and running over Mark Davis. Nobody runs over Mark Davis. I have really grown to respect him and to think very highly of him. And I've got a chance to watch him grow. And Tom Brady has that voice because Mark Davis, more than anything else, wants to win. Raider Nation is very frustrated and angry. And they have every right, because for decades now, this organization has told them our motto is just win and commitment to excellence. And all they've done is lose and been committed to mediocrity. And Mark Davis now understood, and he was able to align himself with Tom Brady and with Richard Seymour. And now there is that. And I think this is going to be a massive dispensational shift for this organization. That's not a slam on Antonio Pierce. I made this comment the other day. I was talking to a Raider player right after we reported about Antonio being fired. And I said, if you drive a beautiful Cadillac Escalade truck and your transmission goes out, and you go and buy a Ferrari transmission and try to put it in the Escalade, it's not going to work. It doesn't mean that either don't have value. It just means it didn't fit. And clearly they felt there wasn't a fit, but it wasn't a slam on the value of Antonio Pierce. It was this organization, to where they want to go, to what they want to do, felt like they've got to get everything on track. I believe when this is all said and done, they're going to hire an experienced coach. But what are they doing? They're throwing a net wide. You know, we broke a story tonight that they reached out. They want to get permission to interview the Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator. They're doing both of the Lions, Spags from Kansas City. You know, they're going to go after, and they're going to interview some guys that aren't super experienced. So you may say, well, why do you think they'll pick an experienced guy? Because I think that's what they want. But they also want to be wise enough, like the Pittsburgh Steelers were when they brought in a young Mike Tomlin, who wowed them. And they were Tomlin. And that's a saying in among the league, and I've heard that at the owners' meetings. And I think they're willing to be Tomlin. And, okay, you know what? This is what we think we want. But sometimes, you know, life works in a way where you find out, okay, what I thought I wanted wasn't what I needed. And so I think that's exactly where they're at right now. And I've had a lot of people say, you know, do you think it's a slam on Antonio Pierce? No. Do I think Antonio did a lot of things right? I absolutely do. Do I think there were mistakes? 100%. But when you hire a rookie coach, you get rookie mistakes. And, you know, I've only seen one rookie in the NFL, coach or player, who was almost perfect, and that was Brock Bowers. And other than that, the reality is, Amy, that, you know, this organization is making a dispensational shift. And I certainly understand why Raider Nation is so frustrated. They are literally, and I'm not a fan, they are literally the most amazing fans in the sports world. And they are incredibly loyal. I shared this with you privately once, Amy. I had a woman in her 90s stop me at a grocery store, a Smith's grocery store in Henderson, Nevada, and wanted to break down how one of the safeties' feet were out of position. They know the game. They're like St. Louis Cardinals baseball fans. They're like Laker fans in the NBA, Nebraska football fans in college. They're just those elite type of people that know the game. And so this organization, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and for the first time, it may not be a train. And I think it's fascinating to watch.
The reports that Brady and Belichick, Bill Belichick, were having conversations about Belichick potentially becoming the next head coach. Now, you debunked that and said that there's something other than that was spurring this conversation. What do you know about Brady and Belichick and any involvement?
Well, you're right. We did debunk that. We broke the story today. A source with direct knowledge of the conversation told us that the farther Belichick and Brady get away from working together, that there is an immense respect between the two for what the other brought to the other's life. And now it's a very respectful, good relationship. And so Brady was literally picking his brain about the process, you know, explaining what the, you know, what are some things you look for? What are some things? And to their credit, you know, I think they both realized that they were better together, and now they're able to accept it. It's like a couple that ends up getting divorced and has children, but realizes, you know what, we're adults and this is about our kids, not us anymore. We're not married, and they're able to get along because they love their kids. I think they understand there was a divorce, but that tremendous respect. And Belichick was willing to talk to Tom and give him some wisdom. And Tom was willing to be why Tom is great, because it isn't a pride issue. And he was willing to swallow his pride and talk to him. And Bill was willing to help. And it's one thing to go down to the bar and ask the guys at the bar for financial advice. It's another to go into your Merrill Lynch or whoever your financial advisor is that has an investment book of a couple of billion dollars and a proven track record of 30 years and then get it there. And I think that's exactly what Tom is doing. And that's why I think Tom is elite in every area of his life, why he hates mediocrity and why I believe that is coming to the Raiders.
Hondo Carpenter is now into year number 6 as a Raiders insider for Sports Illustrated. And he joins us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. Whether it's defensive or offensive side of the ball, you talk about identity. What type of an identity are they looking for with this new head coach?
That's going to be the fascinating thing. Patrick Graham has not been good for the Raiders since he got here. He has been exceptional. I think it is a travesty that that man is not a head coach in the National Football League. And he is, in my opinion, an exceptional defensive coordinator. When you look at all of the injuries the Raiders sustained this year of superstars, and yet still that defense was very, very good, is amazing. The Raiders always want to play tough defense. They always want to play a tough offensive game. They want to be able to, you know, beat you up in a plethora of different ways. I think, and I've reported this back in September, I was asked in my weekly question and answer article about if Antonio Pierce were removed, who do I think the Raiders would hire? And the name I kept hearing was Mike Vrabel. To the Patriots' credit, they moved quickly away from Gerard Mayo because they wanted to get in on Mike Vrabel before the Raiders did. And so I don't think that Vrabel's out. I'm hearing from people around the league, they think he's going to end up with the Patriots. Now, I still believe Tom Brady can sell anybody anything. So I'm not in any way saying I don't think it would happen. I think Vrabel, though, is a guy that they're extremely interested in. But here's what I would tell you, Amy, that I've talked to a bunch of people who are close to Tom. It's somebody that has to be brilliant. I don't think they're married to an offensive or a defensive guy. It's somebody that has to be savantish when it comes to the game. Somebody that understands the nuances, somebody that understands the little parts of the game. Those are the things that drive Brady crazy. I was talking to someone today who was on the coaching staff when he played, and he told a story. This guy was on the defensive coaching staff in New England about how Tom went up in the middle of a game, coming off the field at halftime, and didn't rip, but was really getting into one of the coaches for some mistakes a defense was making. And the guy walked in the locker room and told somebody else, and they're like, yeah, that's Tom, man. He knows everybody, what everybody's supposed to do. Tom likes to surround himself with those kind of people, guys that understand the game. If you are a great defensive coach, great. He wants you to be a great team in special teams, offense, and defense. So if you are only a defensive mind, so Bill Belichick, there's none of us that would argue that he's not one of the greatest defensive minds in the history of the National Football League, but he also was an exceptional offensive mind and special teams. So they're going to be looking for somebody like that. Now, probably that's going to end up with an experienced coach. But again, they're open to being Tomlin. They're open to getting somebody who's young, but who absolutely can pass that. I asked a person today who knows Tom very well, what do you think someone getting interviewed by in a room with Tom Brady in there is going to experience. And he said, it is going to be like a colon rectal exam. And I said, can you explain it? He said, yes. He said, Tom is going to push them. He wants to know, do you know the game? Do you understand the game? Do you understand the little parts of the game? I had another person tell me that one thing the Raiders need to be prepared for is that eventually Tom is going to go through the entire franchise, from the janitors and security people to PR to people that sell seats to every area of the organization, and look at it and study it. Not look at it and just make an opinion. He's going to study it. Are these people performing at a championship level? And they said, because Tom understands that to win at the level he wants, it absolutely everybody's got to be on the same page. And you may remember when he left Tampa Bay, there was some talk of some of his former teammates about football being fun again. And Tom's answer was, I thought winning was fun. Because when you are one of those elite men at who play at an elite level, or elite women, I was with Simone Biles last time. I mean, she's that. When you're around those elite people, that's how they live. It's how they run their life, Amy. And that is what Tom Brady is going to bring to the Raiders. I said this yesterday, and I'll say it to you. They're not talking about it anymore when it comes to commitment to excellence and just win. Now they're going to be about it. And I think it's going to be a holistic change. I think it's going to be Hurricane Brady. In fact, I'm working on an article right now on the coming Hurricane Brady and how Tom is going to bring to that organization the joy is winning. And if you can find joy in it and not win, why are you doing this? Go do something else. Mm. And I think that's what they're looking for. So I don't think, and I've asked several people, I don't think it's a commitment to a defensive coach or an offensive coach. I think they're committed to find somebody that knows the game. They want to be smart. They want to do smart things. You'll appreciate this. Brian Hoyer, the longtime NFL quarterback and is a dear friend of Tom Brady's and just a great friend of mine. And I asked him once, what did you learn most from Tom? And I'll never forget his answer. He said, Tom pays attention to not just the small details. He pays attention to the biggest details too. Now, I thought that was unique. And I said, can you explain to that? I thought everybody pays attention to detail. And he goes, no. He goes, sometimes people just take the big details for granted. Oh, everyone's going to know that. And you know, it made me think of John Wooden. First day of practice every year, taught his guys how to put their socks on. And he just goes, Tom taught me that the big details and the little details, all details matter. And that's what Tom Brady is going to bring to the Las Vegas Raiders, is that commitment. And you know what? Credit Mark Davis, that's what he wants. It's where he is. He is built. The Raiders are flush with cash. They have the nicest facility in the NFL for practice, headquarters, and the best stadium, in my opinion. I've been to them all, and I'm not a fan. And he's done everything right business-wise, and now they're going to get the football thing right, and I think it's going to be fascinating.
Well, Hondo, that's all conceptual until they have the quarterback who can implement it on the field. So what do they do at Tom Brady's former position?
Well, I would say this to you first and foremost, is if they're not convinced that there is a in the NFL, Amy, there's a term called a dude. It's used by general managers and scouts. And it's for a guy that they can't miss at. And for years, one of the areas where the Raiders have been horrible is drafting. Now, to the credit of Dave Ziegler and now Tom Telesco, that's changed under those two men. But they're going to look and say, is there a guy at the top of the draft, they pick six, who we think is a franchise guy, because you can't gamble with pick six. You can't gamble. I'm going to go back to last year. The Raiders were not able to go up and get a quarterback.
Right.
So they're sitting there at 13, and teams are furiously calling, trying to trade up and get Brock Bowers. Going into the draft, they had three people that they thought were dudes, just guys that couldn't miss. Joe Alt, Brock Bowers, and Talise Fuaga. All three have had great rookie years. And they thought all three were elite. But Joe Alt and Brock Bowers to them were the two best players in the draft. So they're sitting there at 13, and they wanted a quarterback, but no one would trade. And so they're watching the draft board fall down, and all of a sudden people are wanting to furiously get up and get 13. And people made them offers commiserate to Jimmy Johnson's trade chart of what 13 should cost. But they understood, you're not trading for pick 13. Because there's a guy on the board that we think is worth one. So if you don't want to give us one, we're going to take Brock Bowers. And it was a brilliant draft last year by Tom Telesco. Brilliant draft. He didn't have a good draft. You go down and look top to bottom, he had a brilliant draft. And so they're going to look and say, is there a guy here that at six is a can't miss? Now, maybe there's a guy at one that they think is, but they don't think they can get him at six. They'll move up. But if they're not convinced that there is a can't miss there, they're either going to trade back or use the pick for who they think is a can't miss. They're not. They know you can't win in this league without a franchise quarterback. But they also know you can't win in this league by gambling with your first-round picks. And so if the guy's not there, they'll look at, is there somebody later in the draft that we can draft? Remember where Brady was picked. You know, he's not married. He watched a lot of guys go one who failed in this league. And so, but their belief is they've got to identify either a rookie, a free agent, or maybe there's a guy sitting on a bench somewhere who they think is special but hasn't had a chance to develop. I'm going to tell you this, and I think you'll get a kick out of this. I was told by someone in the organization, they don't have an answer yet of what they're going to do as quarterback. That's a long way away. Because right now they're committed to setting a vision, because where there's no vision, where there's no vision, franchises die.
Right.
And so they're trying to set the vision, then who's the coach to fit the vision, and then great, we'll go through, get ready for free agency and start looking at scouting and everything else. They are pumping the brakes, understanding you can't rush the process.
And certainly the Chiefs have raised the bar so high, but now you've got Jim Harbaugh and you've got Sean Payton in the division as well. So I like what you have to say about them looking for an experienced coach who recognizes the way to hit the ground running. And certainly we'll have the help of what is a high-profile champion in that front office. At Hondo Carpenter, he covers the Raiders for SI and has the It's Daily podcast, right?
Yes, ma'am. 7 days a week.
So that Raider Nation can get its fix. Well, Happy New Year to you. It's always great to connect with you, and thanks so much for the intel.
I appreciate it, ma'am. Have a wonderful night.
Hondo Carpenter answering questions about Tom Brady's role and that conversation with Bill Belichick. And he has a lot of stories, a lot of behind-the-scenes intel. At this point, they don't have a plan for quarterback. They're focused on head coach, and they do have a wide array of interviews scheduled. I thought it was interesting that he said they don't believe they're out on Mike Vrabel, even though Vrabel is set to interview in New England on Thursday. And, of course, the Patriots are moving quickly, with the idea being that they want to secure Vrabel this time around. At A-Law Radio and our Facebook page too, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The idea that Bill Belichick was unwanted, cast off, maybe even blackballed by the NFL is completely and utterly ridiculous. And I'm so glad that we're finding that out now as multiple teams have inquired if he really is committed to North Carolina or would he like to head back to the NFL, because we got a job that might interest you. 855-212-4227. Bill Cowher, part of that Let's Go podcast, which I feel like is a revolving door of various coaches and high profile players in the NFL since Brady exited. Now it's a little bit of a different feel. And of course, Bill Belichick has another job. But they get Bill Cowher on there every now and then. We were asking you this question on the last edition of the show. What is the most desirable job out there?
I think if you look at it, I mean, certainly I think every situation is going to have a unique, different spin on it. I'll say this. It starts with a quarterback. I think the Bears have history. I think the Bears have a quarterback. Might be the toughest division. But that's cyclical, too. I think those things kind of work its way out. So I like an organization that's got a history to it. I like an organization that's actually got a quarterback. Again, however that dynamic works on the inside. But I think every situation is a great opportunity for a young head coach.
Bears. I like it. Now, see, I would say if you're talking quarterbacks, as much as Trevor Lawrence has had some injuries and there's been some inconsistencies there, I still say that's a really attractive job, too, unless, of course, you don't want to work with Trent Baalke. That could be a bit of a question mark. But I don't know. I wonder, will there be any other jobs that open up, that become available? You think about the teams that are in the playoffs right now. I can't imagine any of them makes the change, though. Every year there seems to be one surprise. But I don't see any of these other teams making a change. We might see coordinators or position coaches get let go, and maybe there are front office changes. But this didn't turn out to be quite the dramatic cycle, the furious firing that maybe we expected. And part of that is because three of the jobs were vacated during the season. So that's a little bit of it. Still waiting to hear from Cleveland, though it doesn't sound like there's going to be another change there. They let go a couple of their offensive coaches, the OC and the offensive line coach. Miami standing pat. The Giants are standing pat. Trying to think if there's anything else out there that would even Dallas is really the last one left, and it doesn't. I don't know. I could be wrong. The more this drags on, maybe it's not even dragging on for them. It's just for people who are waiting on the answers. But the closer they get to McCarthy's, now his contract is up Friday, right? But he only has exclusive negotiating rights with Dallas until the following week. So his contract is up in mere hours, and yet we've heard nothing. I don't know. I'm telling you, they are. I would bet most of, well, not most of what I'm worth, but I would bet if I were a betting gal that they're working on a contract extension.
You would think, especially denying permission from the Bears to talk to McCarthy, but I think it's the 14th if memory serves. Mm-hmm. They only had exclusive negotiating rights till the 14th with McCarthy.
So next week, is that Wednesday?
You want him. You might want to do it now. Because at some point, all these teams that are looking for a coach, McCarthy could be a guy that you could look for to stabilize. How many times have we heard culture with new coaches, right? Mm-hmm. McCarthy's a guy that would bring culture.
And experience.
Culture.
Yeah.
So if the Cowboys want him, I want to work on that.
One of the things I've heard is that McCarthy may not want to stay in Dallas. Now, I don't know if I believe that. He's indicated publicly that he wants to stay there. Of course, it's not like college where you're committing to young men. And now these young men are getting paid, so it's more like a job anyway. But he's indicated that he wants to stay there and that he's working on the future. I just think the more it remains quiet day after day, the less likely it is that they're going to make a coaching change, especially because, sorry to jump in, I know you had your mouth open. Marco's mouth went, especially because the coaching cycle is happening right now. So if you want to get in on Vrabel, if you want to get in on some of these other coordinators that are being interviewed, I know many of them are still working, but you're behind the eight ball. If you wait much longer, you're not gonna have the pick of the litter, I guess.
You're right, but I think you just mentioned something, though. Is McCarthy, looking at it, he's what, 5 days away from being a free agent coach?
Able to interview wherever he wants?
Does he look at it and go, you know what? You waited this long. Why don't we wait a week? Let me see what my options are. He may want to be in Dallas. Maybe the Cowboys want him, but maybe he looks at it and goes, you know what? I'm a week away from, let me hear what the Bears have to say. Let me see if the Jets are serious. Let me see if Jacksonville maybe a spot that I want to go to. Who knows? I don't know the answer to that, but you wonder when people get, I mean, it's different if you're under contract and you got a year left and you're quote unquote lame duck. His contract is up where they don't have exclusive negotiating rights in less than a week. He may look at it and go, I'm right here. You know what? Let me talk to everybody. Let me get the free agent fill, and let me see if there's a spot out there that's a little better than here.
At the same time, that doesn't seem like McCarthy. I know I don't know him personally, but it doesn't seem like his personality. To me, he's a stick guy. He's a guy who stays. And I know he doesn't have a contract. You're right. So there's nothing to stay for. But I do believe that he wants to win. He's talked about his resume. He's mentioned the relationships there in Dallas. And I don't know. I don't think that's his personality, is to play the field. But
that's,
I could be
fair,
wrong.
But it also could be, you know what? I'm a little tired of the Jerry Jones. I got to answer this question for how long? How many games? We won 12 games 3 years in a row, and I was still, every year was, do I get a job? Do I have a job? You know what? I don't want to deal with this no more. Maybe he's done with the drama. Who knows?
Or maybe it's better to be in the spotlight and have those questions than not.
That could be.
Because then you're irrelevant. I kind of feel like if you're in the center of the storm, well, at least no one's forgetting about you.
We'll see. I mean, Cowboys seem to, Jerry Jones is willing to pay. We know that, but it always seems like it's got to come down to, I mean, like a true businessman, it's got to come down to 30 seconds before the contract is up.
Good point. That's his modus operandi.
And winds up, and it usually means that he pays more money at the end of it. So it doesn't really come out to be a business decision. It's just, it's almost like, well, we don't have to do that until Thursday. I'll do it on Thursday. That's just the way it seems like the Cowboys run their business. And it's odd to have a coach, you either want him or you don't. And to have it come down to 5 days left in his contract, I don't know if I've ever really seen this. And you would say par for the course for the Cowboys.
Now, see, if it's me, that's true. I mean, think about the Dak contract, the CeeDee Lamb contract. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Micah Parsons is the one that's up now. But very often, they've waited until the last second, or they've gone into overtime, if you will, with guys on franchise tags. I think that that's a great point, but I also think that if I'm Mike McCarthy, I don't give a crap how long it takes. If I want to coach the team, well, then I'm going to stay here and I'm going to coach the team. And if it costs him a little more money and I get a little more money out of it, great. But again, I may not be reading him or reading his personality right. I know people who worked with him closely in Green Bay and kind of feel like that's who he is. He's not the type of guy that bolts or plays the field. This is not a Scott Boras client, if you will.
No, that's all fair. But I mean, he could also be tired. He also doesn't strike me as likes the drama. So maybe he's tired of the Jerry Jones nonsense that comes along with it. Let me go to a more stable, if you will, organization where I can just be a football coach and not have to deal with the nonsense. He also maybe just looking at what his options are, because I don't know if the Dallas thing falls through. I'm sure McCarthy could find a job, but will it be this cycle? Does he have to do again where he has to sit a year because people are not necessarily looking for McCarthy now? I don't know. Maybe he's trying to figure that all out, or maybe he's just telling everybody else to figure it out for him. I don't know the answer.
I could be wrong, but I don't think that every job in the NFL will be filled by the 14th. So if he really does want to see what else is out there, and the Bears are, it sounds like the Bears, we know from Ryan Poles, what did you say, Producer Pete, they're planning on digging down deep for oil. I mean, they're going to hit a pipeline. That's how
they're
deep they're going to dig.
Pipeline.
Yeah. So they may very
get
well.
Get in line with the Jets, because I don't think there's anybody the Jets haven't talked to. You could be, you know, an intern. They want to talk to you about something. They don't even know what it is. GM, head coach, I'm not sure, but come in and talk.
So there could very well be openings that are still available when he becomes a free agent, if that's what he wants to do. But if I had to put money down, I'm not going to, but if I had to stake my reputation on it, I would say that there's a contract extension that's announced before he becomes available.
Again, totally fair. I can see it. The longer this goes, the more you feel like Jerry Jones is going to stay with McCarthy. And at that point, if he's going to be willing to pay him, I don't think McCarthy would go. But I guess we'll find out in the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. That is a good job. As much as it's a pain in the ass and there's a lot of nonsense that comes with it, it's still the Cowboys. It's still a good job. And as much as it's not for everyone, there's plenty of coaches that this is not for you, but that's not a job that you would go, oh, I don't know if I want any part of that. Like there's I'm sure a lot of coaches and a lot of people that would tell you the Jets job you don't want any part of. There's some people that would tell you the Jaguars job is something you don't want any part of. The Bears job you don't want any part of. There's reasons for it. Now the Bears, see, the confusing part of the Bears is, who's in charge? Is it Kevin Warren? Is it Ryan Poles? Who the hell is in charge with the Bears? And when I come in to be the head coach, and when I come in to be the head coach, am I in charge? Am I going to be? So, or do I have to answer to four different people before I get to figure out? So the Bears job is tricky. Like the roster makes sense. The quarterback makes sense. But you don't know where the stability is. Jaguars, again, Where's the stability?
Well, Trent Baalke's tough, and that, so is Shad Khan.
Right. They've had, I mean, Shad Khan's been there for what, 12 years? It's been a revolving door. Trent Baalke, I got to inherit a guy who's completely unstable. Then do I go out with the next one? So, and Woody Johnson with the Jets, like, there's reasons there. I know Jerry Jones could be a problem, and I know he can insert himself when he shouldn't, but at least that's a job that's desirable, and I can't imagine it would be difficult to sell that.
So we'll see what happens. The carousel continues to turn, though very often the business comes to a halt over the weekend where the games are played. NFL frowns on you doing business or announcing big news in the middle of a playoff weekend, though sometimes it does happen. So we'll see. But I think the Raiders situation is very interesting. If Tom Brady is as involved as what our insider tells us, then that organization is about to get a major boost in terms of culture and also in terms of its credibility. At A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We didn't have a chance to do this last night, but producer Pete, I think it's interesting. It would be fun if we can share the clips of Jerry Jones from The Landman, which I know they're out there. We've got them in our system. And also, Rob Gronkowski becomes the latest former Patriot to rip the organization for how they treated Sherrod Mayo. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, and Bill Belichick surprised the football world when he took the North Carolina job. Plenty wondered if he was still really wanting to be in the NFL instead. Well, Tom Brady apparently trying to test that mettle. Reports are Brady spoke with Belichick to see what it would take to bring him to the Raiders. And Brady said to have a huge impact on the hiring of the next head coach there. But for now, reports say Belichick no plans on a return to the NFL. Wildfires going on in California. The NFL is said to be monitoring the situation for Monday night's playoff game with the Rams and Vikings. Contingency plan is to have the game in Arizona if it's deemed necessary. Eagles getting Jalen Hurts back at practice on a limited basis as they get set for the Packers. But Nick Sirianni, not all that concerned with Hurts showing some rust.
This is why you practice. This is why you go through the process of practicing and all the things that you do at practice to get on the same page and do everything there. We feel like we practice at a very high intensity level. This is why you go out there and do those things.
Brock Purdy and the 49ers close to a crossroads as Purdy has just 1 year left on his deal. But Kyle Shanahan made it clear he wants this to be his long-term guy.
Brock is the leader of our team. I've loved these 3 years with Brock. I plan on being with Brock here the whole time I'm here. So like, Brock's been a stud. He's a guy I got a lot of confidence in, and just as a human. But it starts with what he's done on the field these last 2.5 years, and we're capable of winning a Super Bowl with him. We just almost did, and I know he's capable of getting the Niners Super Bowl in the future.
NBA Cavs pushed their win streak to 11. They snapped the Thunder's 15-game win streak in the process. 129-122. Jared Allen, 25 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. Evan Mobley added 21-10-7 dimes. Knicks pound the Raptors, 112-98. Karl Anthony Towns, 27 points, 13 rebounds. Bucks roll the Spurs, 121-105. Sixers top the Wizards, 109-103. Pistons dominate the Nets, 113-98. Blazers erase the Pelicans, 119-100. Nuggets overwhelm the Clippers, 126-103. And the Pacers finished off the Bulls, 129-113. College hoops. Villanova shocked UConn 68-66. Alabama rolled South Carolina 88-68. Texas A&M upended Oklahoma 80-78. Kansas rocked Arizona State 74-55. Illinois dismissed Penn State 91-52. While Gonzaga outscored San Diego 90-83. I'm Marco Belletti.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks for hanging out with us. The plot thickens when it comes to NFL coaching searches, especially in Dallas, because there's been no news. And I tend to think no news is good news for Mike McCarthy if, in fact, he wants to stay in Dallas. But it also could be indicative of the fact that Jerry Jones has had some other projects on his plate. If you haven't seen or heard, because it's radio here, his cameo from the new series Landman, it's very authentic. Now, and here's the funny part. While he may have had a script, he delivers it in a way that's believable. And while he may have had to try it, to cut it, to record it 18 times, There are no ums or uhs or stutters or awkward phrases like we get in his weekly press conferences and his weekly radio shows. Now, it's brilliant. You would never know this is the same guy who does a radio show every week and kind of circles around before he can land the plane. So I'll set the scene for you. I've seen it a few times. He's with John Hamm. As well as, I'm trying to think who the other guy is. John Hamm is in a hospital bed. That's his character, I mean. His character is Monty Miller in this series, The Landman. And Billy Bob Thornton, that's the other guy who's in it. So two high-profile actors with a ton of experience. And what they're talking about is work, but work whereas it's a needing a reset of priorities. And Miller's in this character, John Hamm's character, Monty Miller, is in the hospital after he has a heart attack. And what Jerry Jones is talking about is how important family is in a person's life.
I'm not saying I've done anything right, but I made my mind up a long time ago. I was going to work with my kids. They're involved in everything. They're involved in my leasing, oil and gas, real estate. And so when I got the Cowboys, I got it. So that we could all work together. I just know it's not going to be this time, but you're going to be sitting here sometime in the future, laying here sometime in the future. And this room's going to be full of your business associates and the people you've worked with all your life. And more than likely, your children and family are going to be there because they're your children and your family. I'm pretty proud of them Cowboys. I'm pretty proud of the stuff we've done in oil and gas. It pales in comparison to how proud I am to have lived my life working with my kids.
You can hear the emotion in his voice. Now, I don't have any idea if this was ad-libbed. There are some people who believe that because it's partly Jones' story and because he is appearing as himself, because he's appearing as the owner of the Cowboys who originally made his money in the oil industry, and because he's telling the truth about setting up the Cowboys so that he could work with his kids. Remember, his son, Steven, is involved on the personnel side, is part of that front office. And then his daughter actually works on the business side. His daughter, I think her name is Charlotte. And so they work together. And he gets emotional and he's got tears in his eyes. And he seems to be sharing from the heart a perspective that is real, that he has walked out in his own business life. So I thought it was really impressive. And maybe, just maybe, he's been tied up at that. Now, The Landman is this series that was dropped on Paramount Plus, one of the streaming services that I have. And it follows a cast of characters that are chasing an oil boom in West Texas. So yeah, Jerry Jones fits right in. And John Hamm, Billy Bob Thornton, they were raving about his cameo, but it was kept under wraps, which I think is kind of fun. Very few people knew that it was happening. So in one of these episodes, the whole series got dropped all at the same time. In one of these episodes of Landman, people got to it and realized it's Jerry Jones and were blown away by his acting chops. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.